Record.
Okay, okay, إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so we're just restarting inshallah. This is actually, I think we're on hadith, it's about 100 and something, 102 perhaps. And we've done previously the book of Wahi, about the revelation, the book of Iman, talking about the branch of the tree of Iman and the different branches and what makes up Iman and so on, how Iman increases and decreases, etc. And then we've talked about the book of knowledge, which is about the importance of knowledge and how it's transmitted, what makes up knowledge and so on. So we're just nearly at the end of the book of knowledge. And this hadith is on the story of Musa and Khidr, or Khadir, it's pronounced in different ways. And Bukhari just brings it for one very small reason, that's why he brings it, but we'll see why. But it's nice just to go through the whole story, might as well. So I thought we'll go through the Quran. I can just try and see if I can recite it reasonably well. And then you can see the English as well. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَ حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتَ وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا قال ذلك ما كنا نبغ فارتدا على آثارهما قصصا فوجدا عبدا من عبادنا آتيناه رحمة من عندنا وعلمناه من لدنا علما قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا قال إنك لا تستطيع معي صبرا وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا فانطلقا حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا قال ألم أقل إنك لا تستطيع معي صبرا قال لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا فانطلقا حتى إذا لقيا غلاما فقتله قال أقتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس لقد جئت شيئا نكرا قال ألم أقل لك إنك لا تستطيع معي صبرا قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها وكان وراءهم ملك يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا وأما الغلام فكان أبواه مؤمنين فخشينا أن يرهقهما طغيانا وكفرا فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحما وأما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما رحمة من ربك وما فعلته عن أمري ذلك تأويل ما لم تستع عليه صبرا. So that's the story of Musa and Khidr. And let me get this to work, hopefully. Okay, that's great. Works. Okay, yeah. So just before we go into the hadith, why is it important? Obviously, it's a very interesting and sort of marvelous, miraculous story, which is, and we read Surah Al-Kahf, inshallah, hopefully on Fridays, so you're probably all familiar with it. But why is it also important to understand the story right? And sometimes people go into error with regards to Khidr, and it leads to all sorts of issues in their understanding of Islam. Does anyone know? Anyone know who was Khidr? What was he doing? Anyone know anything about him?
Some people say he's still alive.
Do they? Right. Yeah, but we know a proof that that's not true. I remember that hadith which we did. Do you remember that hadith?
Yeah.
Well,
the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on this day, everyone will die in 100 years.
There's no one who lived longer than 100 years who is alive on this night. So then we know that's not true. So,
isn't the point about Khidr that you can confuse this with like predestination? Because he was almost sort of saying that he knew the intentions of people or what would be happening, and people then misinterpret that as, well, then your fate is already guaranteed, because he was telling about people going to be punished and things like that, right?
Khidr does explain, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. So he said, I didn't do any of this of my own accord. And it also says, مِلَّدُنْ عِلْمَ, exactly, that we gave him some knowledge. So when he was doing it was from knowledge that he received from Allah. And he said, I did not do it from myself.
People claim that as well, even nowadays. I mean, a lot of psychics, and you say the same thing.
Maybe. I was thinking of something a bit more specific. Yeah. Actually, maybe you haven't heard these doubts, so maybe don't worry about it then, perhaps, actually. But the issue arises actually because some of the Sufis they use Khidr as a kind of example. And then they say, well, Khidr was a wali, and he had some special knowledge. And maybe they might even claim that, I don't know. But they say that he had some special knowledge, and that it went against the Sharia of Musa, but that doesn't matter. So then that opens up a whole, because they misunderstand it, it opens up a whole thing where they say, well, okay, our Sufi, this and that, is a wali, and then he doesn't have to follow the Sharia anymore, and so... So all that stems from that. That's the issue actually. So perhaps not to worry about that if you haven't heard that, but this is happening actually. So people do say these sorts of things. Anyway. So that's why it's important to understand the issue about Khidr and Musa correctly. But why did Bukhari actually mention the hadith? So this is the actual gives the background to it. So once the Prophet Musa alayhi salam stood up and he addressed Bani Israel, and he was asked, who is the most learned man amongst the people? He said, I am the most learned. Allah then admonished Musa as he did not attribute absolute knowledge to him, to Allah. So Allah inspired him, at the junction of the two seas, there is a slave amongst my slaves who is more learned than you. Musa said, O my Lord, how can I meet him? Allah said, take a fish in a basket, and proceed, and you will find him at the place where you will lose the fish. So Musa set out along with his servant Yusha ibn Nun, and carried a fish in a large basket till they reached a rock where they laid their heads down. They lay down and slept. The fish came out of the basket and it took its way into the sea as if in a tunnel. So it was an amazing thing for both Moses and the servant boy. They proceeded for the rest of that night and the following day. When the day broke, Musa said to his servant, bring us our early morning meal. No doubt we have suffered much tiredness in this journey. Musa did not get tired until he passed the place where he was meant to stop. There the servant boy told Musa, Do you remember when we took a break or took a rest at the rock? I indeed forgot the fish. Moses remarked, that is what we have been seeking. So they went back, retracing their footsteps until they reached the rock. So the reason Bukhari is quoting it is that initial bit. So Musa was asked, who's the most knowledgeable? And he said, I'm the most learned. So as a kind of lesson, Allah then directed him to learn from Khidr. Okay? And so one should say, Allah knows best. Allah is the most knowledgeable. Allah knows best. That's the reminder, and that's the lesson that Bukhari was getting from it. Anyway, to go on with the story. So there they found a man covering himself with his own garment. Musa greeted him, gave him salam. And Al-Khadir replied, is this how people greet each other in your land? Wa anna bi'ardika salam. And then Musa said, I am Musa. He asked, the Musa of Bani Israel? He said, yes. And then he said, may I follow you that you can teach me of that knowledge which you have been taught? And Al-Khidr said, verily you will not be able to remain patient with me, O Musa. I have some of the knowledge of Allah which he has taught me and which you do not know. And you have some knowledge which Allah has taught you which I do not know. Musa said, Allah, inshallah, you will find me patient and I will not disobey any order of yours. So they set out walking along the seashore, along the coast, as they did not have a boat. In the meantime, a boat came by and they asked them to take them on board. And the crew recognized Al-Khadir and took him on board without asking for any money. Then when they were on the boat, they saw a sparrow or a small bird sit on the edge of the boat, and then it dipped its beak into the sea one or two times. And then Al-Khadir said, Ya Musa, my knowledge and your knowledge have not decreased Allah's knowledge except as much as this sparrow has decreased the water of the sea with its beak. Al-Khadir went to one of the planks of the boat and he pulled it out. Musa said, these people gave us a lift for free, but you have spoilt their boat and scuttled it so that its people will drown. Al-Khadir said, didn't I say to you that you will not be able to be patient with me? Then Musa said, call me not to account for what I forgot. The first excuse of Musa was that he had forgotten. Then they proceeded further and found a boy playing with other boys. Al-Khadir took hold of the boy's head and took it off or cut it off. He killed him. Musa said, have you killed an innocent soul who's not killed anyone? Al-Khadir replied, did I not tell you that you cannot remain patient with me? Then they both proceeded until they came to a town, to the people of a town, and they asked them to host them, but they refused. Then they found a wall which was about to fall, so Al-Khadir repaired it with his own hands. Musa said, if you had wished, surely you could have asked for some wages or some payment for it. Al-Khadir replied, this is the parting between you and me. And then the explanation which Khadr gave is all in the Quran that we just went through. and then the Prophet added, may Allah have mercy on Musa, if only that he had been more patient to learn more, to have gone on even further with Khadr and seen more sort of weird and wonderful things about his story with Al-Khadir. Okay. So this was the point that, just this one point after a long hadith, Bukhari was just trying to get that one initial point. To have, I suppose, kind of humility in terms of knowledge, and to always say Allahu A'lam. If someone says, who knows the most about this, or who's the most knowledgeable, then you say Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. And then the Sheikh said that now unfortunately someone nowadays might have learned just a small amount of knowledge, and yet they consider themselves to have reached a pinnacle of knowledge, and they put themselves forward in that way. He said it may be different if there is a scholar who genuinely has mastered a certain field, and then he might say, okay, well, I've researched this and I know the most about this. But still, obviously, one should refer knowledge to Allah ultimately. So Musa alayhi salam, even though he was Kalimullah, what does Kalimullah mean? Kalim. Kalim, yeah. It's to do with kalam. Yeah, yeah. Wa kallam Allahu Musa, yeah? Yeah. So he was the one whom Allah spoke to, yeah? So even despite that, and despite his great station, being one of the great prophets and so on, Allah still reprimanded him in that way. But this shows that Musa, even though he had that great station, he wanted to still, he was still eager, as soon as he found out, he was eager to go and learn that knowledge from him. And this shows that, you know, even a scholar, or say a scholar of hadith or something, they would still be interested in the knowledge which someone else might have, which they don't have, even if that scholar was not of their level. And they would actually make journeys. Sometimes they would travel for like a month or something, just to hear one hadith from someone, because they didn't hear that hadith yet. And that shows the importance of traveling and learning from others, and for specific knowledge which you may not have. Okay. And then the story about the fish in the basket. So this was just obviously it's a miracle. It's a very strange occurrence. But Musa took Yusha ibn Nun, and he himself was a prophet, and had various miracles occur with Allah's permission for him. But at the time, he was just a boy accompanying Prophet Musa, alayhi salam. And so they rested at the rock, the fish escaped, and then they went on further. And that was when Musa felt tiredness, when he had gone beyond that meeting point. And then when he asked for breakfast, then he realized that they'd forgotten. And they went back, traced back the same way to where the fish had gone. And that was the place where they were meant to meet Khidr or Khadir. And then they found this man sort of wrapped or enveloped in his garment, and they gave him salam. And he said, وَأَنَّا بِأَرْضِكَ السَّلَامِ. And is there salam in your land? Meaning that, is this a place where there are many Muslims at all, that they say salam? Then he asked Musa, I said, are you Musa from Bani Israel? So this shows that the prophets at that... all the prophets, they were sent to their specific people. So Musa was sent to Bani Israel. If Khadir was a prophet, and then we'll come on to that later, then he would have been sent to his people. Yeah, and so on for all the other prophets, except for Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi, who was sent to all mankind. Yeah, okay. And this also shows that the prophets would have different Sharia for each prophet. Yeah. So obviously the foundations of the religion are all the same, but certain aspects of the legislation and the laws which they had would vary from prophet to prophet. Okay, and then the prophet and so he said you should follow me, but he said that you won't be patient. Khadr said that you will find it hard to be patient. This doesn't indicate that Khadr, despite him having knowledge of those affairs which Musa didn't have, and despite the fact that Musa went to learn from him and so on and so forth, this doesn't indicate that Khadir was overall better or more virtuous than Musa. Okay, and then the Shaykh gave some examples of Suleiman, the story of Suleiman in Surat An-Naml. But the hoopoe, if you remember Surat An-Naml, there was a hoopoe who saw certain things from the Queen of Sheba and then came back. So the hoopoe said that I have encompassed in knowledge that which you have not encompassed, and I have come to you from Sheba with certain news. So he's saying that I've grasped this, whereas you haven't. And the Prophet, there's also a hadith where the Prophet advised people to cultivate date palms in a certain way, out of his own understanding, and it wasn't related to the religion. And then the plants didn't grow very well. And then he said, why did you do this? They said, well, you told us to. And then he said, "Antum a'lam bi dunyakum bi umuri dunyakum." So again, just because a prophet or whatever may not know a certain thing, that doesn't mean that he's lesser in station overall. Okay, so that's important. So Musa alayhi salam was still better and higher in station than Khadir. So this is the issue that the Sufis they claim that So you got the wali, the awliya of Allah, which we believe in Islam, right? But they go to excess with that, okay? So they say a wali, what's the ayah about walis, awliya? Ala inna awliya Allahi. Yep, alladhina amanu. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. So the wali, the person who is a friend or an ally of Allah, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ Those who believe and have taqwa. So someone who is extremely pious and righteous and they believe and they have taqwa, they reach a certain level that Allah loves them. Okay? But they are still following the Sharia. They're still following the rules and legislation of Islam. Okay? What happens with the Sufis is that they go to extreme with regards to the wali in many, many different ways. Okay, so they venerate them. They say that, what they say, which is wrong, of course, they say that you've got the Rasul, and then the Nabi is a higher level, and then the Wali is a even higher level than the Prophets. Okay? So that's obviously very... And I've actually heard people say this, actually. So, in India, unfortunately. So that's obviously a wrong statement. And then they say... they say that the Walis are like Khidr, and that there's some inner aspect of the religion, some inner hidden knowledge, which the Wali has, which the Prophets and the scholars and the Quran and Sunnah and everything don't have. So they've opened this whole kind of avenue for all kinds of innovations, basically. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why it's important to understand what's going on and not to go wrong in this area. Okay? Just as a side story, I'd gone to India as a child, I remember as a teenager, and so there's one very distant relative, I should say, who's actually considered a peer in the family. So, and he has these murids around him, and he would not come for the prayers. This is just the interesting thing. He just wouldn't come, he wouldn't pray, he wouldn't come to the mosque, he wouldn't even pray, forget about praying. Exactly, so he's basically not following the Sharia at all. He wouldn't, not only not come to the mosque, he wouldn't pray to begin with. And he had these murids who were just basically following around and doing everything he said. So it's not like academic, it does happen. Anyway, so they walked along the shore, they were taken on by a boat, and then Khidr gave that example of how vast Allah's knowledge is compared to the knowledge that we have, or to the knowledge of even Musa and Khidr had. And this is just another hadith which indicates the vastness of what Allah can give and his dominion and what he possesses. So, O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you and the human and the jinn of you were all to stand together in one place and asked of me, and I were to give everyone what he asked for, then that would not decrease what I possess, except what is decreased by a needle when it is dipped into the ocean and removed a tiny drop of water. That's just another example of the same kind of thing. So then Khadir removed a plank from the boat, but the wisdom behind that, which we got from the ayahs, is that the king was capturing boats, so because it was faulty, he left them alone, and that was basically in their favour. The first excuse which Musa gave was through forgetfulness. Then there was a boy playing, and then Al-Khadir killed him, because he was going to go on to be undutiful to his parents, and that the next child was going to be dutiful. So this is what Allah wanted or decreed for them, that would be better for them. And Khadr did this obviously on the basis of what Allah informed him. And then again, he just went on, Sheikh Abdul Razak was going on, he said that the story, there was actually a story of a Khariji, who said that, look, Khadir killed someone, killed a child, so we can also kill children. So Ibn Abbas said that if you have the knowledge of Khadir, then okay, meaning that you can't obviously do that or claim that. And then the Sheikh just went on to say that that these kind of scenarios, people get some sort of information from dreams and other things. And then he actually related an incident which apparently happened maybe years, centuries ago or something, where there was a group of Sufis, and they all together had the dream at the same time where they were slaughtering their son, like Ibrahim alayhi salam did. So they all said, oh yeah, we all had the same dream. So they actually did that, unfortunately. So he just said that the dreams obviously may provide good information, or they might just be strange, weird dreams, but they should never be used to establish the Sharia. Okay, and obviously that seems obvious, but it does need to be clarified sometimes. Okay, and then the third situation was when they were not hosted by a certain place they stopped at, and Al-Khadr fixed the wall, and that's because under the wall there was some treasure belonging to two orphans. So they didn't want for that to be discovered and then taken away from them, so they wouldn't benefit from him. And then they went their separate ways, and Musa could potentially have seen more things, but they separated at that point. And then just the point of the hadith, so Bukhari mentioned that hadith because one should say Allah knows best, yeah? That was the main point. Any questions about that? Yeah.
Can you kill someone for what they might do in the future?
You see, what Khadir did was, he was following a different Sharia to Musa, firstly. And secondly, he was informed by Allah, right? But that situation can never apply now. So I think no one can claim that level of knowledge.
Give an example. Because someone could be like holding you to gunpoint. Then. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'll maybe come back to that at the end. Okay, inshallah. Okay, this is the next hadith. This is the last hadith for today. So, whoever, while standing, asks a scholar, while the scholar is sitting, is that okay? Yeah. So, is it okay for a questioner who is standing up to ask a scholar who's sitting down a question? Okay, it seems like a simple point, really. So, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked, Ya Rasulullah, what kind of fighting is done in Allah's cause, for Allah's sake? I ask this, for some of us fight for out of anger, and some of us for the sake of pride or tribalism, etc. So the Prophet raised his head, because the questioner was standing and the Prophet was sitting, and said, مَنْ قَاتَلَ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So whoever fights so that Allah's word, meaning the religion as a whole, should be uppermost, then he is the one who is fighting in Allah's cause. Okay? So again, sort of Bukhari is getting these slightly sort of tangential points from the hadith, and just because, and it may have been a thing that people got this false sense that, okay, there's a scholar sitting, and how dare you address the scholar while you're standing up, etc. So he's just showing, well, actually, that's what the Prophet did, so there's nothing wrong with it. Okay? So that just explains the situation. And then the question was asking different reasons why they might fight. And so obviously the legislated just war situation should be to make the word of Allah uppermost. Okay? Now this phrase that the Prophet raised his head, and then it says, قَالَ وَمَا رَفَعَ إِلَيْهِ رَأْسَهُ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ كَانَ قَائِمًا. So then this little phrase that, so this just shows how precise the scholars would try and be, that he didn't raise his head except because the questioner was standing. Okay, so that little phrase was actually, some scholars say that was just an explanation of one of the narrators along the chain. It's not part of the original hadith. But either way, it just explains what was going on in the context. So there's no sort of problem with that. So it either was a statement of Abu Musa himself, radiallahu anhu, or it was added by one of the narrators explaining. But just shows that the scholars were trying to clarify which bit was the part of the original hadith and which was a later explanation. So that's all really. That's it really, that's all. Does that make sense, that hadith, yeah? So.